Right, we have on the line now Leo Hannon, who is from, of course, Hope and Glory. Now, Lee's been doing lots and lots of interviews, and I personally think nobody's given him a fair chance. And I've invited him onto the programme tonight to talk about Hope and Glory, and I want to give him a chance because he is a respected man within the industry of promoting festivals. Hello, Lee.
Good evening. Thank you for having us on.
No, my pleasure, mate. I've listened to the interviews and there's a few broadcasters out there trying to make sport on you, which I think is very unfair. You have been involved for a long time. You've got a great reputation, a great name. This has been a disaster. The floor is yours. Talk to me.
Yeah, it has been disappointing, and thank you for recognising that in some of the interviews where I think people are trying to gain from what is an awful situation, rather than actually help their own listeners in the case of some radio shows. So I really do appreciate this. Obviously, the festival, I felt that I needed to not continue with that festival on the weekend. That wasn't a light decision at all.
Lee, let me stop you there and let's start at the beginning. Why did you pick Liverpool? Why did you pick that venue? Talk us through it. Take as long as you want, but talk us through it.
Okay, well, I once lived in Liverpool for the best part of a year. I absolutely adore the city and the people. I think it's got a fantastic sense of humour as a place, and it has a really genuinely special place in my heart. Round by that area, I think is the most stunning setting. I've always thought this about Liverpool, that, and I was guilty of this when I lived there, that I forgot to look up. And when you look up as you walk around Liverpool, it's the most beautiful place.
Yeah.
And that area is indicative of that. And I was having a drink of a cup of tea in the library with a friend a couple of years ago that also works in music. And he was saying, oh, wouldn't this be a great if we, because we were talking about gigs and things, wouldn't it be great if we did a gig outside? I said, oh, yeah, we just carried on with our chat. And I walked away afterwards, and at the time, I was staying in a nearby hotel, and I turned around and I went back, and I looked around the place, and I thought, this needs to be a festival. This would be incredible. And I came back and I spoke to my wife about it. And she said, what, bang in the middle centre? Really? A few hundred yards from Lime Street Station? I said, yeah, wouldn't it be incredible? And I was so excited and became so passionate about it. And then we started looking at artwork for it long before we'd sort of even taken it to anyone. Art ideas. And I thought, oh, wouldn't it be amazing if we could sort of build fun Victoriana into the artwork, and irreverent and subversive up against all that incredible setting. And really from there, the idea of the festival was born. And I felt because of the importance of the place, we had to have acts that had massive anthems, whether they were the new acts or the heritage acts. And I wanted a mixture of both. And I felt that it was a case of having acts that were important, important sounds. So that's why we ended up with acts like James and a 70 piece with the Hacienda. And it became an absolute a work of love, really. And it was from 2 years in inception to a year and a half of planning. And I was utterly devastated when we had to pull it.
Yeah.
I feel incredibly sorry for everybody that purchased tickets. Well, not just those that purchased tickets, because it doesn't stop there. You know, I know there were people from all over the country, all over Europe. I even had an email of somebody that had come from Australia that they claimed they were coming all that way because of the lineup, and the same with somebody from Canada and the States, and they were tweeting, you know, these aren't made up facts. Anybody that looks back historically over the Facebook pages can see that these people were saying that, and we were blown away by the level of interest in the place, and I feel so very sad and upset for everybody that wasn't able to go on the Sunday, and those that experienced something that was below par on the Saturday.
Lee, one of the councillors said, what a ridiculous place. It really annoyed me, this, and I had a go at this all night last night. What a ridiculous place to put a festival on. He's never complained for the last 2 years when Pride was held there.
which was
just what you did, except there was fencing up. But Pride, I was hosting one of the stages on the Saturday, but that was on the plateau. But I saw Pride, and it was where you were.
It was, yeah. I mean, granted, we had a stage, main stage, the size, the height of the World Museum, which I guess changes things in some respects.
Yeah.
But you're right. Yeah, we occupied the same space.
Yeah. Now, tell me, when did it start going wrong? And all I ask is that you don't mention names, because I know there's all sorts of things going on. But if you could just tell us when it started going wrong. When did you realise there was a problem?
I suppose, retrospectively, the first indicator I've been given pardon me, was on the Friday night when I was talking to a couple of the five or six bands that we had playing that I've known a long time, and they were saying, look, Lee, just to let you know, your production manager doesn't reply to emails. And I found that a bit of a bizarre comment, and most unlike the artists that had told me it. It played on my mind a little overnight, and I thought, right, okay, I'm just going to go around and walk the site and just check that everything's right with the production manager. I spotted numerous things that I needed changing, and every time I identified them to the production manager, and for those listening that don't know what their job is, it's basically to deliver the event that they've been contracted to do and that has been laid out for them. And each time I spot something, it's like, yeah, we'll get that done. Don't worry, we're aware of that. Yes, we're changing X, Y, or Z, because there were lots of things that need to be changing because they hadn't been as I'd asked. Then come, early hours, I walked the site with him again. I said, look, I'm really concerned that you're behind schedule. And he said, no, honestly, don't worry. This is all in hand. Everybody knows what they're doing. We're going to get this all ready. We're going for a short sleep in a little while, and we're coming back to finish off the site early. So when it came, what I should say is that the plan with the local authority and the Blue Light Services was to announce that gates would open at noon on the Saturday, and in reality, we were going to aim to be somewhere around 11, half 11 latest, when we would actually open the gates, just to allow and ensure that anybody that had been queuing would have been processed by the official opening time, and that we would have a steady flow of traffic throughout the day that obviously the queue lanes could cope with. The problem thereafter, and I accept full responsibility, I should say, for this festival. You know, this is my festival, my idea. And yes, there are others that are directors of the company, but, I can't deny that this was my idea and wouldn't want to. I'm proud of the idea, still as devastated as I am as to how it all turned out. But what I'm trying to do here is not point the finger, but help people understand exactly what went wrong. And when we got the site wasn't ready, basically, and it continued not to be ready. I was up and down William Brown Street seeing that there were telehandlers and bits of staging, etc., all over the road, which is fine as part of what during the build, but not when you're due to open the gates. So I couldn't open the gates. The local authority eventually turned up from licensing, and once it was all cleared, they approved the site to open. During the course of the day, I had arranged for a bridge, a Ramson bridge, to be built over halfway down the road into St. John's Gardens, and the purpose of that was to provide an extra entrance and egress between the gardens and William Brown Street. During the course of the day, as that hadn't been delivered, and I'd been assured, look, it won't matter with the levels that we're at, been assured by the production manager absolutely vehemently, the level that we're at, that's not going to cause a problem. My office was up in St. George's Hall, looking down at the main entrance, which is up into St. John's Garden from William Brown Street, which is up at the top end. And I noticed a build-up of people where there was a lot of people trying to get into St. John's Garden and a lot of people trying to get into William Brown Street. And it scared me, is the honest answer. There were literally hundreds trying to go each way. There wasn't a free flow of movement, and they were essentially butting up against each other, and it looked very uncomfortable down there.
Yeah.
I ran down from my office and went straight into the middle of those crowds, and I put my arms up and started to encourage people to go one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
I then sent for some of the staff to do that for me and went and saw a PCSO, and said, look, I'm concerned about this site. Can you get me a senior ranking police officer down here? I want him to look at this site. Now, the local authority choose the capacity for any area. And some months earlier, they had stated that it was 15,000 people for the area that we were due to take over.
Mm-hmm.
We extended that area, actually, but that was their initial figure. I said I wasn't comfortable with that, and I felt that it should be reduced by a number of thousands. And after the meeting, during the meeting, which was attended by police, fire, ambulance, highways, and other city council offices, it was agreed that we'd work on the basis of 12,500 people as the maximum capacity. What I want to assure all your listeners is that at no point, contrary to a lot of the misinformation on Facebook and Twitter and the likes, at no point were we ever anywhere close to reaching that capacity. I went up onto the museum steps at the top that we weren't allowed to use for the event, which I was somewhat confused about because Pride were, but so be it. We challenged the museum on it and they were resolute. The idea for that to be integrated, of course, was the part that the whole festival was built around the World Museum, St. George's Hall and the library in the first place, and wanted it to be a living, breathing thing.
Lee, let me stop you there. Let's just repeat what you just said. So you're telling us that Pride were allowed to use the steps and you weren't?
Absolutely. I was in a joint agencies group the week before. The World Museum haven't attended any of the JAGs across the year and a half that we've been speaking to people. And they sent two representatives at what turned out to be the very last JAG prior to it going to the final approval.
Mm-hmm.
And they stated that we were not allowed to use it. I said that was grossly unfair, that because the LGBT community were allowed to, and so why shouldn't this festival? And that very much we'd always hoped to make them part of it, but they hadn't engaged with. I've got a history of emails to the relevant contacts at the museum that I'd been given. They simply didn't respond to.
Yeah.
And we were all thrown back. We were thrown back by not only that they weren't prepared to do that, but also the manner in which they approached it at the time. And that has been addressed with senior people at the museum since.
Lee, when did you decide to pull it?
I decided to pull it on Sunday morning. During the course of the Saturday, because the a festival had effectively opened up almost 2 hours after when we had planned to do it and almost an hour after when we'd advertised, huge crowds built right the way around St. George's Hall, right the way down the bottom, almost to our backstage area, down towards the tunnel.
Yeah.
The fact that there had been a big issue in the egress and ingress out of the in and out of the St. John's Gardens from William Brown Street I put in place a measure, and it was a measure that I know that at the same time one of the council members had also come to, and the sergeant that attended said, look over there, Lee, when we went up to view the whole site from the top of the museum steps, and the measure that I'd put in place was working. However, main stage was running 2 hours late by that point, and it resulted in me having to make some very difficult decisions. The first of those decisions was that I was dissatisfied as I'd walked around the site. I was a bit surprised that we'd been approved in some respects to open. And I took the decision to there and then dismiss from the site the production manager. Now, all of the companies employed are exceedingly experienced, and I don't ever envisage to be in that position, but I was nonetheless. Because I was in that position, I then, as well as the event management, took on production management and health and safety under my sole arm for the rest of the day. I worked with the top three acts. I had to drop an act. I reduced the set times and changeovers of four acts just to make sure that the public could see as many of the acts as possible. By that point, it beggared belief, really, that I was in that position. I worked through the night because I wasn't confident at that point of anything that the production manager had told me. I was finding lots of issues, not all of which would have affected the health and safety of the festival, but enough issues to make me concerned that the I's and weren't dotted and the T's weren't dotted in some instances. And the one thing that is, for me, is always far beyond anyone's enjoyment of any show that I work on, and I hope that they always have a wonderful time, is that everybody gets to attend safely. I was incredibly scared at one point of that bottleneck that had been created between William Brown Street and the gardens. By 5 a.m. in the morning, when I discovered the loss of our signs, emergency signs, etc., hadn't been put up, that on the Saturday, the first aid post hadn't been where I requested it, that the security deployment hadn't been fully carried out, and it's the production manager's responsibility to convey that, my requests to the security company. I received an email through from an artist from their representatives that weren't very happy about something that hadn't been delivered to them. And I realised that, because there were lots of things during the Saturday that just simply weren't done, even backline for the stage of drums and amps, etc., hadn't been on second stage. A lot of the things I've been promised, like even DJ decks for the main stage, weren't there. And I stood on William Brown Street about 5 o'clock in the morning, having not been to bed. And I looked around and I just thought, I'm going to make a decision now that will likely bring the end of my career in music. And the decision I made was to pull the event. I did it certainly pulled my services from the event, which I knew would result in there being no events. And I did it because I knew in my heart of hearts that as much as I had all of these people arriving that I was responsible for, that given the issues on the Saturday, that I did everything to counter myself and did resolve, I suppose, but not necessarily. I felt that we'd got away with the Saturday rather than successfully achieved the Saturday as a festival. And I sat there on William Brown Street and I felt very upset, and I thought, I can't do this today. And I can't do this because if somebody gets hurt today, which I felt there was a potential for, I thought that'll be my fault, and because I can't trust that the professionals that I had employed to do a professional job for us had done that job in all circumstances, and that there may be still something, despite my best efforts to correct their mistakes or their lack of attention, there may still be something that I hadn't considered. I was conscious that I was exceedingly tired by that point.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, look, the buck stops with me. It's going to be nobody gets killed on my watch. It'll bring about the end of my career in music after 25 years, working with some of the biggest acts in the industry and lots of the acts from the festival as well. And I thought, I'm going to make that decision. And I made it. And I emailed everybody involved. And since that point, I've received nothing but vitriol against me. And I understand people are angry. My goodness, I would be if I'd bought tickets for an event like that, or certainly if I travel far. We've had threats to kill against me and my family. I've had my home phone number, my home address, my pictures of my little boy associated with the address put online by people. And for all of that, and it's been the most torrid time, I'm still glad, and I know people don't want to hear this necessarily, but I'm still glad that I pulled out of that event, bringing the end of the event, because if I can't put on a safe event, I don't want to put one on.
Totally understand that. I totally understand that. Lee, a couple of questions and then I'll let you go.
No, it's fine.
Money back. What happens?
Right. Well, I'm not one of the directors of the festival. I'm the event manager of this festival, even though it sort of comes from my idea. There are six different ticketing companies, one of which, Tiny Cow Tickets, I'm involved with as CEO. We have already on that company said that there's 100% refunds because of the arrangement that we've got with the festival. We can just make that decision. Not every ticketing company, and I must admit that is a small proportion of the tickets.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't even advertise. That's just where people found us or whatever. There are, I believe, C tickets have started to refund some people in full. I'm seeking further clarity on that. And even 5 minutes before I was due to come on air, I was taking calls from another ticketing company that we're working very hard with to work out how we can resolve the issues. I think if it was down to me, it would be a very simple thing. It's not just down to me. I know that, for example, my wife that's involved in that business is of the mindset that we should do everything for the customers. And I know that the other gentleman involved, Ian Kerr, who hasn't actually offered himself an interview or anything like that at this stage, who may do so, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I know that he wanted to take more of a let's pull back and then let's look at how the whole thing goes, which is his prerogative, I guess. But I understand, having worked in music for so long, albeit that now it's an end, that the public move fast in terms of, they understandably expect you to have a magic wand and everything just lands back in their accounts.
Yeah.
What we have been doing is updating people on Facebook now with ticket updates. That will be slower than some people want. I'm hoping that there is a resolution as to what's happening. I had said 72, so now 48 hours. And as soon as the information is arriving, we're notifying people. There has been some confusion where we were, as a festival, were directing people to their ticketing company, which would have been the norm. And some of those ticketing companies were then directing them back to the festival, which naturally led to some frustration for people. The one thing I did want to say, if I may, because that will be clear over the next 48 hours, is that on other shows, I haven't been given that chance always to say that this has broken my heart. Genuinely, this was a labour of love. the numbers turned up for it. I had to turn away hundreds and hundreds of people that turned up to buy tickets on the day as well. And I know that would have been repeated for the Sunday. I feel desperately sorry for all those involved. Yes, of course, I take full responsibility for it because I appointed those people. But it's important to understand that these weren't cowboys. There was no cutting corners in terms of who I brought in. These were experienced professionals who, for whatever reason, and I'm keen to find out that reason, simply didn't deliver. I think if there's another event there in that space, and I think it's a beautiful space and it should be used for events, and there were an awful lot of thousands of people that had a wonderful time there on the Saturday too, despite the issues. And I could see that as I was walking around, and you can see it on the photos from the event. I would certainly urge the local authority to probably reduce that to, for that entire space, and certainly if there's to be a main act on William Brown Street, to probably more like 8,000.
Lee, anything else before you go?
No, just my apologies again to everybody that didn't get to go or didn't enjoy as much what should have been the most fabulous event and a lineup that everyone has been singing the praises of. And so I'm really sorry, everybody, from the bottom of my heart.
Please keep our number, and if you want to come on again at night time, in a couple of months when it's all maybe put to bed,
I thank you, and I'd be more than happy to do that. So let's do that.
Thanks, Lee.
All the best. Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye. Wow. Lee Hanlon, the event manager for Hope and Glory. But what we did was give him a chance to answer and speak his mind and talk to you. And what came over loud and clear, love or hate what happened, what came over loud and clear was he didn't want anybody to die. Now, the production company involved have not yet released a statement responding to those claims.